Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Alrighty, welcome into the Friday episode of the Nate Darling Show. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday or Saturday or whatever day you're listening. Hope the sun's shining on you. Hope the wind is always at your back.
Oh, yeah.
And other Irish proverbs.
Yeah. May your best memories be your...
Be obscured by alcohol. All of those things in the traditions of the Irish.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Chris and I had a conversation recently because we're going to go on a vacation in February. And I was like, if we went to Ireland, would you let me drink? She's like, well, I mean, would you drink? Would that be an issue? I was like, I don't know. It possibly could, just because, like, I would have to probably say that I'm not going to have a drink, like, everywhere we went, every single time we went somewhere. No, I don't. I don't want a Guinness.
Right.
No, thank you. And why would I do that to myself?
I don't know. Sobriety.
Yeah. Oh, no, just put myself into a situation where I have to be constantly bombarded. But then I thought about it, and we'd be traveling a lot, so it's probably not even an issue. You know, probably just stay away from the Guinness tour.
Well, I mean, even if you're on the tour, it doesn't mean you have to drink.
No, but it...
I mean, yes, it's going to be harder.
I liked Guinness a lot.
Ah,
that and Jameson. So, like, they were, like, pretty much on the same tour.
You right. Got both.
So anyhow, so talking about my people, man.
My people are Scottish, and they were having none of Donald Trump's lies. As he tweeted, just arrived in Scotland, places going wild over the vote. They took their country back, just like we'll take America back. No games. It's important to point out here that Scotland voted overwhelmingly to remain in the EU.
Oh, yeah.
So here are some of the responses. Scotland hates both Brexit and you. You mangled apricot hell beast.
Mangled apricot
hell beast.
Hell beast.
Sue Perkins tweets, Scotland voted remain, you weapons grade plum. Gary Prosser said, they voted remain, you spoon. I don't know what that is, but okay. Mark Andrew, tweeted, Scotland voted overwhelmingly to stay in the EU, you weasel-headed fuck nugget. Andrew McConnell says, Scotland voted remain, you clueless numpty. Finn de Hertog said, Scotland voted overwhelmingly to stay in Europe, you toupee-headed fuck trumpet. Tim Footman says, Scotland, in all caps, by the way, Scotland voted to stay, you witless fucking cocksplat.
Cocksplat. That's my new favorite.
It's right up there. And, JMF says, Scotland voted overwhelmingly to remain, but what are facts to you, you bloviating fleshbag?
All right. I've heard bloviating fleshbag before, but I'll take it.
Not having it. Not having it.
Oh, man.
Those are my people.
Sorry.
Not having it. Let's go back to the Iron Sheik here briefly.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see the Sacha Baron Cohen show?
I don't have Showtime, so no. But I did see...
You weasel-headed fucknugget.
I did watch the guy that... the gun... Yeah, it has a gun news site, is it?
There was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but I saw his piece of, like, where he was, you know, the Kindergartians.
The Kindergartians, yes.
And I've been reading about it, and I'm thinking about signing up for a month of Showtime?
I would advise it. It debuted to low ratings. It's only a half hour show. This is one that I think people were waiting on because a lot of people are like you. I don't have Showtime. I'm like, eh. I mean, we have Showtime. But if you don't have Showtime, you're like, let's see what this is. I mean, it's Showtime. So, of course, it's, so the show itself is, he plays a bunch of different characters. It's very short features. And he's not just targeting, like, the political elite. Like, the very first person you see him with, and he's in character as, he's in character as a, as a military guy who loves guns, and he's riding a Rascal scooter, and he is interviewing Bernie Sanders.
Oh, the very beginning.
First thing out of the gate. And he's explaining to Bernie Sanders that, why don't we move, one of the things he's explaining is, well, why don't we move the 99% to the 1% if the 1% have all of the benefits? And he's like, what are you talking about? And he pulls up this chart. He goes, well, it's really easy. So you get the 1 over here and you get the 99 over here, right? And Bernie's like, yeah. And he goes, so you take one of these 9s and you move it over here and now you got 19. And he goes, and Bernie's just looking perplexed at this point. And he goes, and then you take the other 9, so then you have all 99, and it's right over here with the 1%. And there you go. You just move the 99% into the 1%.
Oh, my gosh.
another character he plays is a very liberal fellow who goes to have dinner with this conservative couple in North Carolina. And he is... He at one point is explaining to them about how he is being cuckolded by because his wife is having an affair with a dolphin.
Oh my gosh!
And his solution is that they're going to move to a landlocked state. And these people were so nice, like they were like asking questions, like, "Oh, okay," you know, they were the antithesis of what you would expect. They were incredibly nice. They were mildly interested. But yeah, it took a while, but I expect it will pick up. I mean, we still haven't gotten to Dick Cheney autographing the home waterboard kit or whatever happened with Sarah Palin.
Oh my God.
But yeah, it,
the arming 4 year olds,
and even younger, he was posing as an Israeli, counterterrorism expert.
Yeah.
Complete with full accent.
Yeah.
And the solution was to arm the children.
I mean, it'd be younger, but I mean, you know, they're terrible twos for a reason. They're called the terrible twos for a reason. You don't want them to have a gun. But the 3-year-olds, you know, but yeah, just liberals, they won't let that happen. You know, so four is where we're going. You know, so the kindergartens program.
The kindergartens program is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So the show itself had its moments, but it's obviously very, very dark humor. And I think for a lot of people, not that many people have Showtime. And the other part of that is, do I really want because Trump is so in full on alienate all of our allies, commit treason with Russia mode right now? I think a lot of people are like, I can't, because that's not an escape.
So, yeah. So, but here's two things. I'd seen so there's outrage, you know, by these certain people that were duped. Not so much the liberal people. I haven't heard Bernie say shit about it.
Bernie hasn't said anything. And honestly, I think his name is Joe Walsh. He was one of the guys. He's a former congressman. Yeah. He was duped in that whole kindergartens thing. And he's like, look, he got me.
Yeah.
I fell for it. He got me. What else am I going to say?
Yeah.
I own it. I made a mistake. I fell for it.
So, the outrage of anything like about him being, it's like, he's not even an American. He's a comedian, and he's
British,
and he's British, and he's a satirist. Like, that's what he's always done. His Ali G character was about satire of a certain segment of the popular, like, where he was, like, he was trying, he was playing a certain character, you know? I mean, that's what he does, to point a finger at whoever it is and whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, that's, so, it just, like, it sucks that, like, whenever you hear these guys talk, it's like about how it's like, focused on, it's a liberal, it's a, he's a liberal. It's like, he's not a fucking liberal. He's not even a fucking American. He's not a citizen. Like, you can't call him a liberal. Like, don't call him a liberal like it means anything to him. Like, he's not voting.
One of his biggest victims in the whole Borat movie, he's like, oh, I made fun of this, was the TV station in Mississippi that had him on their morning show.
Yeah.
The quote unquote liberal media.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird misnomer, but okay. and I happened to work for the parent company of that station at the time. We got memos about that. About being careful when you book guests coming in from the outside, because something very embarrassing happened. And then when I saw it in the theater and I heard the news, because wherever you go, it's the same news music for this station group.
Yeah.
And I heard it and I'm like, oh.
That's why they said something.
There it is.
Wasn't that movie so awesome though? Borat was pretty great.
It was kind of cringy at times. It was great at times, but it was really kind of cringy at times for me. Cause the whole idea of just making people uncomfortable, that's not funny to me.
Yeah.
There needs to be something other than that. And a lot of what Borat was just making people uncomfortable and then everybody going, ha ha ha, look at that, they're uncomfortable. That's, for me, that's not really that great.
Bruno made me uncomfortable. That was the one that made me uncomfortable.
Why? Because he was talking about buying black children.
Well, and like, there's just like so much dick in it. Like, there's a lot of dick in Bruno. Like, and I was not expecting there to be so much dick.
That is the worst for a guy. Ladies, if you're unaware of this, the worst thing for a guy, no matter how secure you are, the worst thing for a straight guy is unexpected dick.
Yeah, just seeing a bunch of dick and like it's fine.
Like whoa.
I mean, it's cool, but like, I was not expecting it. So definitely, like, yeah, you want to go in with the minds, like, you want to go in with the mindset of like, there's gonna be a lot of dicks coming at me.
It's coming at some point. Yeah. All right, fine.
So there's some dicks.
No pun intended.
But then there was one dick moment in it that was fucking hilarious, and it's where like the dick was spinning around, and then it came erect, and then it whispered Bruno. And it was the funniest thing. I'm thinking about it. Like, all you think about it, it's just so fucking hilarious. But most of the dick stuff in it made me uncomfortable. I guess watch the show. Let's check it out.
Yeah, give it a shot. See if you like. I'm waiting to see. The first one was hit or miss. It really was.
Well, that's the way it is.
But I was expecting a longer form thing. It was several short.
Yeah.
Pieces.
Just went into it.
It's very bite size.
Do you know how many episodes are in the season? Or?
I don't know off the top of my head. Mm. So we'll see. We'll see how that all.
It's getting a lot of press.
It is. It is, but it didn't get a lot of ratings. So I found this story that I found really interesting today. Let me throw it up there. It's a late edition, Jason. So I did add it to the list, but let me throw it up here on the big screen just for you. So the American gun maker Remington, was up for sale. It's really kind of weird. What the hell am I hearing? You hear that? There you go. Who's your phone? Ah!
It must have gotten some water on it, and it was like...
phone is vibrating our mic stands.
Sorry.
Crazy. So there was an investor who wanted in on Remington, one of the country's oldest and largest firearms maker, to transform the company into a model for advanced and responsible gun manufacturing. The surprising investor that made the bid, that was the Navajo Nation, one of the largest Native American tribes in the country. They have more than 350,000 members and land holdings of more than 27,000 square miles in Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. They control a $3.3 billion investment trust They sent a letter to Remington back in May offering to buy the company for $475 to $525 million. That's according to a draft of the letter reviewed by the New York Times. The tribe planning to pay cash for the purchase. Cash. Cash. Their plan for Remington was novel. They intended to shift the company away from its consumer business, including curtailing the sale of the AR-15-style weapons, to focus on police and defense contracts. They plan to use profits from those businesses to invest in research and development in advanced smart guns, those with fingerprint or other technology intended to prevent anyone but the gun's owner from using the weapon. Smart guns so far have failed to make much headway at major gun manufacturers, which have faced pressure from groups like the NRA. Because why would you want the person that owns a gun to be the only one who can shoot it? It's not clear that the tribe's proposal would have worked, but the Navajo Nation would have an advantage of sales for police and military contracts. Not only must a certain percentage of the government business go to minority-owned companies, but the Native American Incentive Act confers other certain advantages, according to the American Bar Association. The only guns the Navajo Nation planned to sell to consumers were long guns, like rifles and shotguns used by hunters. Navajo is a community of veterans and people of the land. That's according to the tribe's lawyer. We are indifferent to the AR-15 and happy to leave that business behind. They saw it as a way to invest in their people, too. Navajo has over 70% unemployment. So over the next few years, they want to shift the assembly, the lesser trained parts of the business onto the reservation. So over the long term, he said, the tribe would have created the kinds of small machining operations that supply many parts to the company, that they would establish specific machining of parts on reservation and assemble to ship the products on reservation. Remington, by the way, emerged from bankruptcy just this spring. It's not a public company, though, largely owned by the investment firm Franklin Templeton, which was a creditor before the bankruptcy. J.P. Morgan Chase owns a smaller part of the company as a result of previously providing it for a loan. Now, had Remington accepted the offer, both creditors would have been able to quickly exit an investment that has brought it unwanted attention. Remington's not answering questions about it, but they turned it down. I have to believe the NRA had something to do with that.
Yeah, fuck the NRA.
I mean, how great an idea is that, though?
Yeah.
Go, hey, we've got a gun manufacturer. Here we have two problems. We have a gun manufacturer that's been struggling. We have a tribe that has hundreds of thousands of members with a huge unemployment rate.
Yeah.
Let's put them together and let's advance technology so that, oh, by the way, here's the great thing about a smart gun. If I have a smart gun and I have it in my home, and a burglar comes in and takes my gun, they can't shoot me with that.
Nope.
If you have a smart gun, and God forbid your daughter finds it, she can't shoot herself with it or anybody else.
I would have programmed her fingers to be able to.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. Well, she's going to be fully trained.
Be fully trained as a kindergartian.
In the kindergartens, yes. She's old enough now. Maybe next year.
Next time they need to create an LLC, like a holding company.
Navajo Nation LLC?
No. but one that's like gun rights for Second Amendment rights for Americans or something, and make that holding company.
Oh, a shell company.
Yeah. And then they can buy it and be like, oh, psych! You're fucked!
So that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
That's kind of a bummer, because that would have been a win-win.
But you never know. I mean, what might happen now is, like, the creditors might be like, no, like, you guys really need to rethink this offer.
Again, the NRA.
Yeah.
The NRA is...
They're kind of on the list of a lot of people, though, right now, too, aren't they?
No, they're flying under the radar. There hasn't been a mass shooting that's of note. God, what, 2 months?
Look,
and here's the thing. We're all distracted because the President of the United States is getting finger banged by Putin. Yeah, exactly.
Definitely some fellatio happening, for sure.
Meanwhile, the federal government, apparently the part that it doesn't have anything to do with Trump, has reopened its investigation into the decades-old brutal killing of a black teenager in Mississippi that became the watershed moment in the country's history of racial violence and helped spark the civil rights movement. Emmett Till was a 14-year-old boy from Chicago. He was abducted, beaten, shot, and killed in August of 1955 while visiting relatives near Money, Mississippi. And his mutilated body was discovered 3 days later in the Tallahatchie River. Two white men, Roy Bryan and his half-brother, J.W. Millam, were charged with murder, but an all-white male jury acquitted them. During the trial, Bryant's then-wife, Carolyn Donham, had testified that Till grabbed her, wolf-whistled at her, and asked her on a date, and made sexual advances toward her at a grocery store in rural Mississippi 2 days before he was murdered. Her testimony was ruled inadmissible by the judge, and the 12 white male jurors did not hear it. Back in 2007, a state grand jury in Mississippi declined to issue new charges. By the way, the guys both admitted later to a journalist that they had murdered him. They were not retried, though. One of them died in 1981, the other in 1994. So this March, the DOJ submitted its annual report to Congress about activities regarding pre-1980 racially motivated homicides pursuant to a law named after Till himself, the Emmett Till Unsolved Civil Rights Crimes Act, and that case has been reopened. So,
all right.
We'll see. We all know what happened. Right. It's just, it's going to be officially in the public record. The difference is the government recognizing the record of what happened and closing the case.
Right.
As opposed to, oh, it's an unsolved case.
Right.
And it's important. And I want to reiterate what we were mentioning on the last show, which is, white people, it's time for us to police the racists among us. Don't let it go. Don't be like, oh, that's just grandpa. Oh, that's just my friend. You know, he had a bad experience one time with some blacks. No. Not okay.
I don't care. I mean,
don't let that go.
I've had a bad experience with some whites.
I have too. Wearing ties. And seriously, you can start with, why do you think it's okay to say that?
Yeah.
That is a good non-confrontational opener. Why do you think it's okay to say that? Move on with that. Anywho, let's move ahead.
Fuck you, racist.
Let's go to Europe.
Oh, they can be racist too.
They are incredibly racist, especially in Spain.
Good morning, I'm David Green. A guy was working as an archives director in Spain for a decade. Well, working may not describe what he was doing. A Spanish paper reports that he would clock in the morning and clock out in the afternoon, and in between, he'd just go home or somewhere that wasn't work. He told Spanish TV he did get a lot done, but investigators found no evidence of that, and he's now been barred from government work. So don't expect to see him in the office. I mean, not that you ever did. It's Morning Edition.
He got away with that for 10 years.
That's awesome. part of you is like, man, fuck you, dude.
Right, because somebody had to be there doing the work. Yeah.
But at the same time, nobody said anything for 10 years, so probably not. So good for you, I guess.
Well, they just grumbled it in the break room. They're like, fucking Miguel's never here.
No way.
What the hell? What the hell, Miguel? See, and that just sort of that leads to the whole thing about, hey, Europeans, you want to be like Europe, man, 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 man. Yeah, with their health care, so I don't go bankrupt if I get a disease.
Hey, free market, brah.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, in New York.
Wild scene on Long Island, a hit and run involving a crane that police say refused to stop. This all started last night on the LIE when the crane hit several cars, and from there it drove for miles before an officer spotted it, and then several more miles down the road, that officer jumped from his vehicle onto the crane and finally got it to stop. This was about 9 miles later. News 4's Greg Sergel live now with what we're learning about that dramatic move, and Greg, the accused driver.
Yeah, David, ironically, just as that crane truck driver was facing a judge here in Central Islip, the police officer who arrested him was describing that tense confrontation between the out-of-control truck and the group of officers who were trying to stop it.
I really started to get into panic mode because I thought he was going to crash and kill somebody.
Highway Patrol Officer Joseph Goss's panic was warranted. This 30-ton crane truck was weaving erratically through rush hour traffic on the LIE. It had already struck four vehicles in the Hop Hog area and kept going east. Goss knew more and worse damage could be ahead if the truck wasn't stopped.
Realistically, that thing is a tank going down the road.
Fortunately, another pursuing officer forced the truck to the shoulder of the road. And as it slowed down, Goss left his patrol car, jumped on board the truck, and pointed his weapon at the driver.
The only thing he said to me the entire time was, "What's up?" At no point did he ever say another word to me.
The truck's driver, Brian Sinclair, was arrested at the scene and charged with drunk driving and leaving the scene of an accident. He later refused to take a blood alcohol test before a judge suspended his license today.
He's maintaining his innocence right now. He entered a plea of not guilty. I have no other comment on that. Thank you.
Amazingly, the drivers in those four vehicles hit by the crane all escaped serious injury. And thanks to Officer Goss and his colleagues, no other vehicles were hit.
In my mind, he's a true hero of our department.
I didn't think any of it was difficult. I was just doing my job, to be honest.
America.
And believe it or not, this isn't the first arrest of this kind that Officer Goss has made. Back in 2016, he jumped into the passenger side window of a car on the LIE and arrested a mom who police say was driving while impaired with her toddler daughter in the back seat. When asked about these two incidents, the officer said simply, "It seemed like the right thing to do at the time." We're live.
Wait, who's at the background? Somebody just say "F you."
Yeah, he's
hey, fucking New Yorkers,
right?
Fucking New Yorkers, F you.
How about that cop, dude?
Dude,
hopping on a crane.
It's a real life John McCain, dude. Like that's like real life diehard, dude.
Unbelievable. Also, in stolen stuff news, something closer to home here in Sacramento.
Area that spanned through four counties. The pursuit started in Rio Linda yesterday and ended north of Oroville. Reporter Mark Thompson says the engine on the million-dollar fire engine was already running when the suspects grabbed it and took off.
Tires blown and battered, the stolen fire engine is now part of evidence in the ongoing investigation. A new one in its place temporarily to keep the community covered in case of fire. CHP now looking into exactly how and why a man was able to hop in that engine, pick up a female companion, and lead police pursuers on a 100-mile, two-hour chase through four counties.
The passenger and the male were taking turns driving, so they were switching drivers while the pursuit was ongoing.
The suspects admitting on scene getting in wasn't too difficult.
The door was wide open. Okay. We thought Hollywood just... All right, here you go. You want to drive? Take off.
He was just all over the place and had the mag light hitting stuff, and it was crazy.
Metro Fire was on a grass fire call in Rio Linda when the suspect first climbed aboard.
You wouldn't expect that.
Per protocol, the engine was powered up with lights on for use and safety purposes as firefighters focused on flames.
We had people in the area of where the engine was.
Fortunately, no one seriously hurt, although Brianna Johnson's SUV was clipped by the engine as she drove with her kids near Roseville.
I'm glad that it's all cosmetic and that everybody's fine.
And we now know the name of both of the suspects involved in all of this. The man is David Carcolette. He is 29 years old. And the female is Candace Scollard, 35 years old. Now, CHP believes that both of them were under the influence of drugs at the time, and the pair faces a long list of charges.
Oh.
100 miles in a stolen fire truck.
That's fucking dope.
Yeah. Hey, New York, take your 9-mile crane chase and cram it up your ass. We got a 100-mile fire truck chase.
Yeah.
With two stoned people.
No, they weren't stoners.
Oh, well, they were they were definitely on drugs.
They were on meth. They're on an upper leg.
Look,
or heroin.
You can be stoned and not be marijuana. You don't need to defend marijuana every turn.
Every turn.
I guarantee they smoked weed too.
Probably. That's not what caused them to do that.
Oh, okay.
I've been around a lot of people smoking weed,
and none of them have the motivation to steal a fire truck.
Yeah, none of them were like, bro. Like the closest you come to that is like, let's go to Taco Bell. Like if they would have gone to Taco Bell in the, if they would have gone to the drive-through. Yeah, then we'd have some. Like, yeah, they're definitely stoners.
Yeah, I mean that truck won't fit through a Taco Bell drive-through.
They wouldn't know that.
The turn too sharp.
Yeah, it's too sharp.
Too sharp a turn. Meanwhile, a former reality star is facing charges of fraud and identity theft. Her name is Sinead Claremont. She's 24. She allegedly stole a debit card from a man that she visited for a prostitution date, according to authorities. U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman announced that the former cast member of Bad Girls Club, well,
she's a bad girl,
was arrested on charges of wire fraud, access device fraud, aggravated identity theft. The NYPD and U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York have been investigating the overdose of a man found dead in the morning of February 1st, 2017, in his apartment in Manhattan. Authorities say that it was during the investigation that law enforcement learned that Claremont allegedly visited him for a prostitution date at the apartment the previous evening. Authorities claim that she used his debit card information to make or attempt to make more than $20,000 in fraudulent purchases in the subsequent months. According to Berman, Claremont allegedly stole the information for two debit cards found in his wallet in his apartment and used the stolen debit card information for rent payments, phone bills, flight purchases, and several online purchases of thousands of dollars of clothing and other merchandise. Additionally, authorities say that she created and used fake email accounts in his name to falsely represent third parties in order to commit wire fraud using his identity. Bad Girls Club indeed, Jason.
Well, aptly applies.
Oh, breaking news, reality news. Farrah Abraham.
She's the one that did the porno, right?
Backdoor teen mom, Farrah Abraham.
Yeah.
Los Angeles prosecutors have charged her with two misdemeanor counts over a scuffle with a Beverly Hills hotel security guard last month. The spokesman said that she's been charged with a misdemeanor battery and resisting, delaying, or obstructing a peace officer. She's going to be arraigned on August 13th. She's accused of attacking a security guard at a Beverly Hills hotel, hitting him in the face and grabbing his ear. You know, like a mom does.
Yeah. Well, man.
Like a backdoor teen mom.
Backdoor.
Oh, that poor kid. I mean, you're never going to win a Your Mother contest.
I mean, you could. I mean, like, you just, like, but not by, like, punching or hitting people. Like, there's a lot to overcome. Let's just put it that way, to become mom of the year.
There really is. And, yeah.
When you're backdoor teen mom.
Backdoor teen mom.
She could be, though, you know?
Listen, I'm not going to besmirch a lady who likes to give that part of her anatomy up to a gentleman.
Yeah.
And that's all totally cool. I'm not even going to besmirch her for going ahead and selling a video of it.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever. This is America. If that's what you feel you need to do, you do you, boo.
Make some money.
But... So you can't slut shame, Jason.
No, you can't.
There's no slut shaming allowed.
Because for how many years was it okay for guys to go around just having sex with whoever they wanted?
Mm-hmm.
And that being fine. But if a woman did it, she was a slut.
Mm-hmm.
And a whore.
Mm-hmm. Hey, why do you think it's okay to use those words? See, it's just that easy. All right, so Jason, you were in upstate New York on vacation. You said it was very humid, right?
Yes.
Well, it's also very humid in a lot of other places.
Not here.
No, not in Sacramento. It's just 105. there are shops that are now banning women from paying with what they call sweaty cash that they've kept inside their bras during the hot weather.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Shopkeepers have been getting hot and bothered by women delving into their bra and handing them sweat-soaked cash. With summer temperatures rocketing in the U.S., signs have been popping up, pleading with their lady customers to not pay with money that has been stashed in their underwear. I can tell you from having friends and acquaintances who worked in retail that that was their biggest complaint.
Yeah, it's a horrible thing.
The sweaty boob money. Here's one sign that says, it's getting hot again. No sweaty boob money. Sorry.
It's fine. I mean, that's true.
Look. And the argument's going to be, look, it says right here on the money, good for all debts, public and private.
But, you know, it's also against this person's religion to touch sweaty boob money.
Boob money. Some of the signs highlight the health risks faced by staff who are forced to handle the sweaty cash. Others just point out that it's downright gross. Soggy money, which is suspected of being kept in bras or underpants, will not be accepted. But while paper money and coins are forbidden in these establishments, it does seem cards kept in your underwear are accepted. I don't know why that's better. I mean, other than they don't soak, but still, it's going to be wet.
Yeah.
Here's another sign. We no longer accept sweaty, stanky, wet pussy, bloody, shitty money. If it comes out of your ass, crotch, or inner bra area, take that nasty shit to another store.
Boom.
That is what happened at Build-A-Bear. No. Just kidding. One worker vented his anger on Twitter, saying, ladies, it's not cute or sexy when you get money out of your bra. That's kind of disgusting. Money's already dirty. Don't need your titty sweat on it, especially in the Houston heat. meanwhile, Elisa Bose said, if you take your money directly out of your bra in 30-degree weather, I refuse to touch it. Try again. 30 degrees Celsius, by the way. Find somewhere else to shop. Goodbye. Here's another sign. Due to the increase in temperatures, we will no longer be accepting money carried in your bra. Thanks, management.
And that was written by a chick because the X on a thanks is definitely a woman thing.
It is. I don't know why that's...
Boobies are not pockets.
Get out of here. Boobies are not pockets. Due to rising temperatures, we do not accept sweaty sock or titty money. It's disgusting. Thank you.
Most of these are at the liquor stores, it looks like, or the ABC stores.
Money that's pulled out of anywhere other than your purse, pocket, or wallet, e.g. bra or socks, will not be accepted. Thank you.
It's so funny. So many of these look like they're written by women.
Here's one that's written in chalk on a lovely little sign. Due to rising temps, sweaty boob, sock, and undie money will no longer be accepted at Primo's. Thank you. Due to rising temperatures, sock and boob money will not be accepted. It's disgusting. Thank you.
Hey.
Yeah. So there you go. Somebody actually put it on their door. No smoking, no cell phone use while ordering, no loitering or soliciting, no sweaty boob money.
Truth.
No sweaty boob money. I need to Google. I need to just check what that is. That is TBEAUXS.
New Orleans somewhere, probably? Or?
It could be. I'm guessing T-Bow's, Crawfish and Catering. All right, locations. There we go. That's what I need to look for. Mississippi. It is in Mississippi.
Oh, in Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, Mississippi. I like it. I like that they've taken that. I mean, it's hot there most of the time. So I enjoy the fact that they've taken the time to have it put permanently on their door.
Yeah.
Around Sacramento, it's a lot of the homeless people with their sock money.
Yeah.
That's really a thing. it's a lot. Anywho, that's, you know what? Let's start with this here. A little bit of.
Sounds like it might be time
you
for.
You don't drive across Texas on a single tank of gas. You don't need the Lone Star State without wishing you were back. You don't go through San Antonio and forget the Alamo. You don't pick blue bonnets off the side of the road.
All right, it's time for Texas Corner. As patrons awaited the start of the latest blood-soaked Purge movie, a dispute over a reserved seat ended with a Texas man plunging a knife 6 inches into the abdomen of a fellow moviegoer.
We need to ban knives.
According to investigators, Brian Morrison, 40, sought to sit in a series of reserved seats at a Friday night showing of the first Purge in a Sherman, which is near the Texas-Oklahoma line. After being shooed away from several reserved spots in the theater, Morrison sat down in a seat that had been reserved by Terry Honor, who was accompanied by his wife Anna at the Cinemark. When they arrived and found him and an unknown woman sitting in their seats, a verbal altercation ensued. According to a criminal complaint, Morrison and his companion eventually moved to other seats. But when Morrison subsequently walked past the couple, he declared, "I should be able to sit where I want." The dispute flared up, and then Morrison, cops allege, asked him to the effect of, "Do you want some?" And as the men proceeded to exchange punches, Morrison allegedly stabbed him in the stomach. I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that the other gentleman was black. With a white lady. I mean, maybe not. Maybe he would have stabbed anybody.
Wow.
Morrison fled the theater after stabbing him. He was rushed to a local hospital for treatment, expected to make a full recovery, so that's good. Morrison was arrested Tuesday and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a felony carrying a maximum 20-year prison term. He's locked up in lieu of $25,000 bond. He's a convicted felon whose rap sheet includes multiple assault convictions. And then they go into what the first Purge is about. Yeah, Texas.
I don't love her.
Well, if you think that's bad, Jason,
uh-oh,
take a listen to what happened near Houston.
According to the victim, when she told a woman she barely knew to leave her property, they'd been out together earlier in the evening. She was ready for the night to end. She said when she told the woman to leave, she became incensed and attacked her. It happened in a flash, according to a woman we'll call Tatiana. She wants her identity private. She is scarred emotionally and physically after she said this woman, Jessica Collins, was visiting her house after a night at a bar and attacked her when Tatiana told her to leave. She said Collins bit her nose, taking off a large piece of it, and then allegedly swallowing it.
How can you imagine something like that? You only see it on the TVs and movies. This is insane. Somebody would just attack you and bite your nose off and swallow it.
Collins is out on bond and facing a charge of assault bodily injury. It's a misdemeanor. Tatiana, a wife and mother, has no health insurance and faces an expensive surgery. Her doctors tell her she needs
she
quickly.
She bit off part of a woman's nose and swallowed it, and it's a misdemeanor?
Get the fuck out of that. Like, they need to charge her with cannibalism.
I don't know that that's a crime in Texas.
There's some states.
I don't know the answer to that. But anyway, let's get into this before we...
And now it's time for the airing of the fucking grievances.
Jason, what's been crawling up your ass lately?
So I just have to say, like, if this sounds like this is meant for somebody, it probably is.
Oh.
But at the same time...
Get ready, Kareem.
I want them to understand that that's why I didn't say their name.
Kareem.
But listen, when you do something for a living, like let's say insurance, all right?
And sure, let's say that.
Let's say you're an expert in insurance because you're licensed in it, and you deal with that all the time, mm-hmm. all right? Millions of dollars of insurance, all right? And somebody has an accident, and they're having an issue, and they ask you for advice, and you give them advice, but they don't listen to the advice.
Mm-hmm.
But they will still want to complain about the situation.
Right.
Like I've had, you have to say, like, hey, sorry. Like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. And she's like, listen to somebody that's an expert in it. Like, if somebody does it for a living, and you've had to do it three times in your life, when it comes to dealing with a claim,
mm-hmm.
like, listen to the guy that says to you, hey, are you having a hard time with this? Listen, I deal with that company on a pretty regular basis. I quote policies with them for tens and thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our commission is on some of these accounts is more than the claim that you just had is. That's just our commission. I can talk to somebody and get this taken care of. Send me the email that you have, and I'm going to call somebody tomorrow, and they'll call you or your spouse.
We're going to get shit solved.
And I'll get it taken care of for you. And we'll have it taken care of by the end of the week. No problem.
Sounds great.
But then you want to focus on doing something else, like getting compensation for a $600, $700 claim. Like, you're not going to get any compensation because they don't give a fuck. And like, there's nothing to get compensation for. Like, they're asshole. Like, the person you're dealing with is an asshole. Just because they're an asshole doesn't mean you're going to get anything special.
That's true.
You're not going to get anything special for dealing with an asshole. Like, let me tell you something. Claims adjusters generally are assholes, all right? A lot of them are. Like, that's just,
well, yeah,
because they're overworked. They have so much shit to do, and then they're dealing with assholes. Like, they deal with assholes most of the time. That don't understand, like, that think things are worth more than they're supposed to be, and
mm-hmm.
you know, like, it's a tough job, all right? So, but, like, you're in when you're dealing with a $500 or $600 or, like, a claim that's under, like, $1,500, you're dealing with the guy that's only been working there for a couple of months.
Right.
You're not dealing with the person that's been there for 4 years and knows how to work the system and knows, like, all this stuff. And, like, depending on the claim situation, it can be kind of difficult. So maybe they're having problems with it. Whatever it is, like, if you have an expert, or you know somebody that knows, like, if you know somebody that is an expert in something and you ask their advice, you should listen to it. Otherwise, you might get them upset because you asked them for an opinion and what you should do. And when they told you what you should do, you just wanted to do something else. Then that's gonna. Sorry, I'm now I am kind of upset because now I feel like you don't value me. Or my opinion on something that I do on a daily basis.
Mm.
And I want to let any of our listeners know, like, I am here if you ever have, like, I don't want to sell you insurance. I'm not here to sell you insurance. But if you ever had a question or needed help, like, I'm willing to look at it for you and see if I can help you in some way in the state of California as a friend.
And I mean, that's a huge thing because there's a lot of things that people just don't know.
Like, no, because that's why you have to have a license to do it. That's why you have to take a, like, and you have to go to, you have to take 40 hours worth of classroom. Like, okay, anybody can do it. Anybody can, like, it's a fairly easy test, but you have to put in the time to do that. And just because you do that doesn't mean you're an expert. But I've spent almost a decade doing it. On the personal side for five and a half years, and now on the commercial side for 2 years. So, like, I know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's my area. If you're gonna ask somebody for advice and they're an expert in what they're doing, take the fucking advice.
That's a pretty good one. Yeah, Kareem.
Yeah, Kareem, you fucking asshole.
That's what
next time you ask me for a question about your insurance and then you don't listen to me.
That's what you get. That's what you get for going to North Carolina. Sorry, North Dakota. I knew it was a North one. I knew it was one of those. So, oh, hold on. I have to stop that. There we go. I have a grievance.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
Mine is people who don't value their own time. Because you know what else they don't value? They don't value my time. They don't value your time. Because time means nothing to these fuckers. And I'm talking about two groups of people in particular. And the first group, I know there's going to be people who listen who are going to get mad at me for this. I don't care. We just passed the 11th of July. Or 7-Eleven Day. Or Free Slurpee Day. Here's the deal. You can get a fucking Slurpee any day of the week. You can get the same goddamn thing at any mini mart for about 99 cents every day of the year. They might call it a slushy.
A freeze.
Whatever. Whatever they might call it. But, I think I have two things playing at the same time here. Hold on.
I thought it was a mashup.
I made my own mashup. Made my own mashup there. But you're willing to go and clog up the 7-Eleven, stand in line for anywhere from 15 minutes to upwards of an hour for some people, so that you can get a free Slurpee.
You gotta be fucking kidding
me. I'm not. Every year on July 11th, people will go and stand in line.
I know people do it, but I mean, people wait in line
for
it?
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here.
Here in West Sac, there is a 7-Eleven just outside of the main part of town. And I go by there all the time on my way out to the Target. And I never, and there's a laundromat right next to it, I never, ever, ever see more than four cars there. They've got parking for about 15. Okay? I went by there on July 11th. On my way to Target, after work. So this is late in the day. Every single fucking spot was full and people were parked on the street. I went to Target. I came back by. There were more people. And you know it had been like that all day. Because people were going to get their free Slurpee. But that's very small in comparison to the goddamn fucked up apocalypse that was Build-A-Bear's Pay Your Age Day. I don't know if you heard about this. I think you might have been... were you back for that? Or were you up in... Okay. So Build-A-Bear had this deal where you paid $1 for every year of your age for a Build-A-Bear. So if you brought CJ, she would pay $1 for a Build-A-Bear.
I should have taken her.
No, you shouldn't have, because half the fucking county rolled out. Everywhere across the goddamn country.
Oh my god.
There were so many people that lined up for hours before the store opened. Like, it looped around the mall. To the point where they were not going to have enough supplies to service all of these people. So then, they started to hand out vouchers for $15 off of Build-A-Bear. And people were getting all bent out of shape because they're like, well, that's not the deal I was getting. They want me to be happy. They got a better... Fuck you, lady. You have nothing better to do than stand in line for how many hours for a fucking Build-A-Bear? I don't know how much a Build-A-Bear is. I'm guessing probably about $50.
I think it's about 50, yeah.
I understand that's not cheap. But did you not think that everybody else in the fucking county would roll out to that?
So that's 3 hours of my work week.
Uh-huh. And by the way, you had to take the day off. It was a weekday.
Yeah.
And it started when the store opened. And everybody was in line for hours beforehand. And just to clear something up, if you're thinking, oh, well, these are poor people, they can't afford it, I'm talking about in Roseville.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about in Roseville, and the people in line that I saw, a good number of them were dressed like they could definitely afford a fucking $50 Build-A-Bear.
Well, were you out there shooting?
I was not. I was not going anywhere near that nonsense. People, how little is your fucking time
get
worth?
Get the fuck out of here!
How little is your time worth?
Like, why? Like, this, I get it, everyone wants to deal, but it's the same fucking problem with the Black Friday and shit. Like, really just say, How about this? How about you create a fucking budget and you save some fucking money so you don't have to do stupid shit? Like, wouldn't you rather just, like... I work hard, 40 hours a week, like, for somebody. Like...
You work hard for your money?
I work hard for my money.
Better treat you right.
I get paid about $20 an hour, all right? I don't get, like, a crazy amount of money. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's enough, right? Like... So let's just figure, you could pay me $60 for 3 hours to do something. I'm not going to just, like, sit somewhere for 3 hours. Like, I would do that for a movie, but that's a whole different thing. Like, I'm going to get something, and it's part of the feeling, but, like, 3 hours... For a Slurpee? Like, you can get a Slurpee any day. That's like...
No one's waiting 3 hours for a Slurpee. They're waiting anywhere from 10 minutes to a half hour.
But that's ridiculous.
Because you're saving a fucking dollar.
You're saving a dollar or two. And with the fucking Build-A-Bear, you know, just fucking pay $50. Get a fucking... Like, really, if it's that big of a deal, like, do you want to be part of this clusterfuck? Like,
And they drag their fucking poor little kids along. For kids standing in line for... That's hell! What sort of emotional hellscape have you wrought upon your children? And by the way, these are the people on the fucking road in front of you who don't know where they're going because they haven't fucking looked it up ahead of time. They didn't bother to program it into their GPS. They can't be bothered to learn that the downtown grid is the fucking alphabet and the number system. And by the way, if you're going to have to turn right, maybe don't get in the left lane. When there's three lanes.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's the same fucking people. They don't value their time. They don't value your time. They don't value my time. And if you're one of those people, be better. And don't be a racist.
No, I didn't add that mine. Don't be a racist.
And take that money out of your boobs. The only time you should have money stored in your boobs is that brief moment between the time the guy puts it there and the time you get back to the dressing room from your dance.
Yeah.
That's the... And then you let it air out.
Then you let it air out.
Let it air out. If you're working at the Hoochie Cooch.
Oh, my God.
It's showtime at the Hoochie Cooch.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to go to the Hoochie Cooch. Tell Chris. It's my bucket list, and we need to go to the Hoochie Cooch tent.
The Hoochie Cooch tent. You know what? Well, she's too young. I wonder if her dad... Because he'd definitely be old enough
to have gone to upstate New York,
county fairs up in that area, where they might have. Not that he would have necessarily gone into one, but there was no missing them. The PAs were cranked up so that you couldn't help but hear them.
That's awesome.
All right. It's time for this.
Florida, land of enchantment, and. Crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
All right. An inebriated motorist assured Florida police that he was not drinking while driving, but only swigging from his bottle of Jim Beam when his vehicle paused at stop signs and traffic signals.
I wasn't drinking and driving.
Earl Gustavus Stevens, who's 69, was arrested 2 weeks ago for driving his Mercury Grand Marquis, of course he was, while under the influence. The Vero Beach resident, now free on $1,500 bond in advance of a July 31st arraignment, was nabbed after a driver called 911 to report Stevens' car repeatedly tapped her bumper while they were in the McDonald's drive-thru. When a sheriff's deputy contacted Stevens, he reeked of alcohol, was slurring his words, and had red and glossy eyes. On the Mercury's passenger seat was a bottle of Jim Beam, from which Stevens admitted he'd been drinking. Asked if he was drinking in the automobile, he said no. Then he explained he was enjoying the bourbon at stop signs.
I get out of my car at the stop sign.
I'm not driving. I'm not driving while I drink.
I put it in park and I step outside.
The car stopped. The deputy further noted that Stevens' distinction when it came to drinking while driving. He further explained that he was not drinking while the car was moving, and only when he stopped for stop signs and traffic signals. He was arrested after failing the field sobriety test. the breath test recorded his blood alcohol content nearly twice the legal limit. In addition to that drunk driving charge, he was cited for driving without a license. He reportedly told cops that he had two prior DUI charges from Missouri.
Oh.
Oops.
You could have been on, you know, could have gone a couple more years if you wouldn't have angered that person at McDonald's. I mean, he was white, so he wasn't going to get pulled over and then Grand Marquis.
He was an old white guy. Meanwhile,
oh man,
this fella, Miami Beach police say a homeless man with no arms stabbed a tourist.
What?
With a pair of scissors using his feet. I say if a homeless guy stabs you with his feet scissors, it's on you.
Yeah.
46-year-old Jonathan Crenshaw told cops that he was defending himself after 22-year-old Cesar Coronado punched him in the head. Coronado, who was visiting from Chicago, claimed he was just asking for directions when Crenshaw grabbed a pair of scissors with his feet and stabbed him twice before running away.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Police found Crenshaw not far from the crime scene and arrested him after Coronado's friend corroborated his story of the unprovoked attack. Crenshaw was charged with one felony count of battery. He's been a fixture in the area for years. He's well known for creating and selling colorful paintings with his feet, according to the Miami Herald. He also has a lengthy arrest record dating back to at least 2008. He spent 180 days in prison in 2014 after being convicted of felony battery on a police officer.
I wonder if his arrest record's basically just because he was homeless. And
well, maybe it's because he's violent. I'm just going to throw that out there. He was not defending himself.
Oh, this little punk from Chicago? Come on, man. We all know the Chicago's are punks. Chicagoans are punks. But, I mean, it's pretty tight. I can see it now.
I love the headline in the Miami Herald. A homeless South Beach artist has no arms, but he stabbed a tourist, police say.
My right foot.
He's 46 and he weighs 90 pounds.
Man.
Well, of course he does. He doesn't have arms.
Yeah, it has to be like.
That's got to cut down on it.
10 pounds a piece, right? 10 pounds a piece? 10 pounds, maybe.
Who knows?
I don't know how much an arm weighs.
Well, cut it off and weigh it. Then you'll find out. All right, let's wrap this show up, Jason, shall we?
Oh, yes.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
We're going back to North Dakota.
Oh.
Marilyn's got some letters to write.
The Queen?
And a column to write. So she's multitasked that into one thing. She writes, Dear Sandy, there's a hum of power saws all around Grand Forks and a few men from Midco climbing poles here and there. But the worst is over. We had trees, branches, and twigs floating all over the forks early Sunday. This is fix-up week. People are repairing fences, piling up tree trunks, and raking branches. Yikes! It all started in the wee hours of Sunday morning. I could tell there was trouble brewing by the wind outside. The branches were flying. I uttered a quick prayer when the power went out. Thank you, God, I said, for my battery-powered radio.
Oh, it's a transistor radio.
And thank you, God, for Ryan Cunningham and radio station KNOX. He kept listeners informed, so I knew what was happening when the storm hit like a bomb. This house, I thought, was built in 1948. Since then, it's withstood rain, sleet, snowstorms, and hail, but nothing quite like this. Now the rain came, the wind howled, lightning was striking, it was wild, but it was short.
Huh.
Ryan Cunningham had told me on the radio when the storm struck around Larimore. It wasn't long before it hit Grand Forks, and then it moved on east on its relentless path of destruction. Sunday was cleanup day here in Grand Forks, so was Monday. I guess this Tuesday we can move on. Here I was feeling sorry for you since you moved to Arizona. I thought how you and Earl are missing the best time of the year in North Dakota. Well, at least you didn't miss the wild storm here, and you're learning to cope with the summer heat in Arizona. I waited all day Sunday for the power to come back on, while I waited for my cell phone call to go through to Midco. I thought of the dear days of long ago. Some of us grew up without air conditioning. The ice cream was getting soggy in the refrigerator. I thought of going over to the Dairy Queen. But with electricity out, the garage door wouldn't open. After that short explosion, things are relatively calm here in Grand Forks. On Thursday night, there's a movie called Hitch in Lincoln Drive Park at sundown. It's free. It's sponsored by The Ground Round.
No. All right.
So I send best wishes from the land of sugar beets and honey to you in the land of blue skies and hot steering wheels.
It's so funny.
By the way, my steering wheel was hot as fuck today when I got in my car.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't put that screen in the window. My bad. Birds love you. Your friend in the Forks, Marilyn. I love how she's like, you know, I got to call him, but I really should write my friend in Arizona.
Bingo.
I'm going to do both.
I wonder if Sandy even knows.
Well, she probably does because the email with the column and the letter to Sandy goes out. They're both in the subject line. I have to imagine that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like one's her editor, one's to Sandy.
Right. I got to imagine that's how Marilyn rolls because that's a baller move.
It is baller.
Is totally baller. All right. We made it.
That's it?
That's it.
No.
Small town news is it.
No right people that we need to talk about?
No. We did. Look, I can't do that every show.
Okay.
People will get tired of that. I mean, we mentioned don't be a racist and call out your racist friends.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
So I'm not going to bury people with that. I mean, we're an entertainment show, for God's sake.
Right. You're right. You're right.
I mean, we can't have every show. Well, maybe we could have every show with a true story about us with Donald Trump, but.
Oh, I can't wait to tell everyone where he ate an ice cream cone, but it was actually poop.
Oh.
It was. He thought it was chocolate frosty, like, but it was shit.
Mm. I bet Kareem has a tale to tell, too.
I'm sure he does.
Hopefully he's back next week.
Hopefully.
If all goes well, by the time you hear this, I will have won $375 million in Mega Millions.
Ooh, should I play today?
Yes.
Oh.
The drawing has happened as we're recording this.
But
I could already be wealthy.
Well,
could be.
Hopefully, nobody wins it this time.
The bottom line is, if I win, I'm still doing the podcast. Oh, that may be all I do.
Oh. Production's gonna go way up.
We'll probably have a podcast studio, not just an office that's converted.
Awesome.
Something where you just walk in and everything's just there, and I have to set it up every week.
Can I get a salary?
We might be able to arrange something. Yes.
All right. Hey, I'm in.
Yeah. I promise you this: if I win $375 million, and we're still doing the podcast, I will pay you per show.
Yes. All right.
I'll pay Kareem 70% of what I'm paying you. Oh, wait, that's racist.
Yeah. Now, you can pay me, because of my white guy, I'll pay 70% of what I eat. You know what I mean? That's right. That's right.
I'll tell him I have to pay you more because you're shorter.
Yeah.
And you faced a lot of discrimination.
Oh.
As it's gone on. All righty. If you've been paying attention to our classic episodes, the last four, including the week we were off, were the first four episodes of the Nate Darling Show.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's great that we brought them back around to you, but those shows are available to you anytime at natedarlingshow.com. They're on the website. You can search them. You can look for them by date. The archives go back to March of 2012 when the site first went live. Before that, we're hosted on Podbean. So the shows go back to July of 2011, but the next March was when the site went live. So every show that's ever been recorded, this is 606 of them now, are available on the website.
Ooh.
So feel free to go. If you're bored sometime, you're like, let me have a time capsule of what they were complaining about in 2013. It's there. It's absolutely there. I believe episode number four was We Love Greg Saban.
It was.
We still love Greg Saban.
Oh.
Some things haven't changed. I don't see him that often.
Yeah.
Still love Greg Saban.
Yeah, everybody loves a little Greg Saban.
Yeah.
He makes a good tuna fish sandwich.
Oh, that's what it's about?
Yeah.
All right.
He has a special ingredient. Should ask him.
Is it jizz?
No! No, you know he's way too classy for it to be jizz. He's way too classy for that.
Gentleman's relish?
It is a gentleman's relish. Now you know.
Greg Saban's gentleman's relish.
It's like it works on so many fronts. Gentleman's relish?
Uh-huh.
Greg Saban's gentleman's relish.
By the way, I believe if you go to any fancy bar where they have a guy with like armbands making drinks and muddling, I believe a dash of boob sweat is in every drink.
For sure.
Just a dash of it. Everybody, have a great weekend. Stay classy. Be good. Value yourself and your time.
Stay cool.
If you're in the Sacramento area, definitely stay cool. And in the Northeast, because it's hot as balls. Yeah. I talked to my dad. He's like, well, when the cloud went through, it cooled off some. He literally said that, and I'm like, that's great.
Yeah, it's not too bad when you're in the shade.
Yeah, when the cloud goes by, it's okay.
Yeah, but
I don't want my life to be dependent on the cloud going by.
Oh, man, you just want to just do nothing. Like, as soon as you feel that heat on everything, like, you just want to do, like, nothing but become a blob.
Yeah, I wanted to do nothing but get the fuck out of the Northeast. Mission finally accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
All right, have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next time.